The show is Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly. It's your connection to local music and more. On the program, a little later, we'll talk with Karen Lynn Deal, who is a music director of the Illinois Symphony Orchestra, about their Home for the Holidays Pops concerts playing in Bloomington and Springfield this Friday and Saturday evening. The first part and most of the show will be a conversation with Paul Wirth, who is owner and operator of the Iron Post, which is a bar and restaurant in downtown Urbana, which hosts jazz, folk, blues, and more quite regularly. Lots of live music, and in fact, they've got lots of gigs booked now through New Year's Eve and beyond, including a gig on Christmas Day if you need something to do. Talk with Paul Wirth and hear some of the performers who are going to be at the Iron Post coming up on Live and Local on FM 90.9. This is Live and Local on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly, and this portion of the program is going to be spent with Paul Wirth, who is owner and operator of the Iron Post, which is a bar and grill, would you call it?
Music venue and bar, restaurant, yeah.
In downtown Urbana, and they've been there about 10 years. He's been with them for the duration of that time, and they're just about the only downtown venue in Urbana that's giving live music that isn't country, I think.
About the only venue in town. I mean, Champaign only has a few places that do occasional, but mostly they're DJs, so I'm pretty much the venue that has the most live entertainment.
And quite a lot of it.
We do it almost every night.
One kind of another. Mostly what I notice is the jazz, but you do quite a variety of other things.
Well, I've joked that I never booked classical or opera, and since I said that, I have. I've had pretty much every genre there is. Basically, what talent is available. I mean, my musical tastes are very eclectic, and so I think the club reflects that, but there's just a lot of really good bands in town, and that might be jazz or bluegrass or singer-songwriter or Americana. And so I book them so that they can play.
Are you a musician yourself at all?
I was in college. I played classical. I played French horn for through high school and my first year of college.
Did you really?
Yes, I did.
I was a French horn player, and I played through my second year of college.
You have a good ear. It's a difficult instrument.
It's a very difficult instrument. Is that why you stopped it?
I changed majors. I decided to go into elementary education, and some of the discipline techniques carry over to the bar business. So,
how so?
Oh, you know, shut up or I'll turn the TV off. That sort of thing.
Did you ever do anything with the education part of it?
No, I started, I put myself through college and started attending bar and was offered management jobs before I finished college. So I just kind of went with it from there.
And so your connection with music since then has been of the
I just pay the musicians.
You just pay the musicians and listen to it.
Yes, and I enjoy that.
And do you pick people to come to play at the Iron Post according to your own taste?
No. Availability. I mean, obviously, the one thing I'd like to see is a packed house every night. That doesn't always happen, but there are nights when the crowds aren't what I'd like to be, but the music's really excellent, so I can still enjoy that. And there's other nights when there's a crowd that's really enjoying the music. I mean, that's pretty much what I do, is let people have a good time.
Have you noticed that any particular genre brings more people in than others?
Not really. There is a very loyal bluegrass-based of fans here in town. Jazz has increased tremendously since the U of I has expanded their jazz program. But, you know, I mean, a bunch of college students that do rock covers can bring in all their friends and have fun, and, you know, may not be the best possible music, but it's, they're having a good time, and all their friends are having a good time, so.
And they're filling your seats.
Exactly.
And drinking your drink and eating your food.
That's the that's the idea.
That is the idea. Well, the reason we're talking with Paul Wirth of the Iron Post in downtown Urbana, and the reason I particularly wanted you to come in right now is that as we come up to the Christmas holiday and into New Year's, there's not a whole lot of music of any kind that is going on much of anywhere else. And you've got a huge lineup.
Yeah, it's kind of the old home week. A lot of people come back to town. I mean, Keith Harden used to live here, grew up here. George Faber grew up here. And they've moved away for various reasons, and they like to come back and see family and friends over the holidays. So they call me and say they'd like to play.
And you're going to be tomorrow night featuring Donnie Heitler and Kevin Hart.
That's correct.
Donnie solo piano. And what is Kevin going to be doing?
The vibes. He plays vibraphone.
Exclusively the
vibes. Well, he's a talented piano player as well, but his forte is the vibes, and him and Donnie have played together long enough that the vibe is really cool just because they know each other. Kevin's hasn't played out much lately because he's just had his second child, and he's in the last like 2.5 years, and so he's been busy with that. Plus he teaches at Parkland and I believe in Peoria, and I think he also might even teach in Galesburg. He's a busy guy.
Yeah. Is he living in Champaign?
No, he lives in Peoria.
Peoria.
With his wife, Cassie. And
okay. Was he at Bloomington at one point? Because I was thinking
I think he was before they got married. I believe they live over there now. But so he travels a lot.
Yeah, so it's a bit of a haul to come here, which here being Urbana.
That's why it makes it such a special night.
Exactly.
Some really good jazz.
Who's doing the music of Django Reinhardt on the 20th?
That's a local group that's been put together of kind of some all-stars. Jordan Kay from the Prairie Dogs is the lead guitar player, and Mike Miller, who also plays banjo in Morgan Powell's Traditional Jazz Orchestra, and then Ben Smith, who is the fiddle violin player for Big Grove's Zydeco, among others, and then Josh Houchin, who is the bass player for Prairie Dogs. But it's pretty true to form. They really went back and studied it, and it's very enjoyable stuff.
Yeah, that should be a nice program. And then coming up just a couple of days before Christmas on the 23rd, program called Keithmas.
Well, it's his birthday.
Oh, that is his birthday.
That's why he does. He's been doing Keithmas. Well, I mean, he's been having birthdays all his life, but he's been doing Keithmas for as long as he's been playing. And he's still got one sister in town and various cousins and, of course, lots of friends. Obviously, he grew up in Tolono. So it'll be a lot of people sitting in. George Faber will be in town, I believe. I hear Jim Cole's coming back. Andy Baylor usually comes and sits in. Donna Nelson, Bruiser, Remini. So it'll be a very fun night of people getting back together that hadn't seen each other for a while.
And you brought along some CDs of some of these folks, including Keith Harden's Bad Dog Blues Sessions.
Keith's one of the best finger-picking blues guitar players and electric blues guitar players that I've ever met. He's also a very accomplished singer-songwriter. That's what he's doing down in Nashville right now. But I've always had a kind of a special thing for his blues playing.
And this is a tune called Walkin' Blues. Not sure what the notation here is. Sun House would be wrote the tune along with Robert Johnson, looks like.
That's correct. Both were sharecroppers down in Mississippi, and it's one of the more traditional, original blues or of blues origin songs you could find.
And here's Keith Harden with Lauren K. Jr. performing together here on Live and Local on FM 90.9.
Mm-hmm. Woke up this morning, I'm feeling around for my shoes.
Tune by Son House and Robert Johnson called The Walkin' Blues with Keith Harden on vocals and what was he probably playing? The dobro on that one?
He plays dobro. He plays a National Steel guitar as well. He's got many, many, many guitars, but yeah, that's...
I'm just trying to identify which sound was that. But and then also Lauren Kay Jr., I sound like probably joining him on that disc. And my guest on Live and Local right now is... Paul Wirth, who owner of the Iron Post in downtown Urbana, who where Keith Harden and quite a number of his buddies are going to be performing. On what I just learned is his birthday. The program called Keithmas on the 23rd at 8:30 at the Iron Post,
mm-hmm.
and just one of many Christmas week and leading up into Christmas and after Christmas gigs that are music gigs that are going on there. How much of your time do you spend actually in the Iron Post?
Way too much.
I figured.
Some days, every waking moment. But I try to get away sometimes. But it's kind of the industry is you have to stay on it all the time.
Yeah, how much, what are you, I mean, how much of the cooking do you do and the serving and all that stuff?
Depending on the shows, I have staff, but I'm generally... in the thick of it most of the time. For some shows, I do the sound for it. Some shows, I'll cook. Some shows, I'll be behind the bar. I'm pretty much always there.
And somebody who hasn't been to the Iron Post, besides the music, what kind of food can they get?
We have standard... what you could call bar fare, cheeseburgers, pizza, that sort of thing. But I also do some specials. Mondays now, I'm smoking barbecued ribs, and that's becoming real successful. I've got a prime rib beef sandwich on Thursdays. We do daily specials, soups, chili, chicken noodle soup, that sort of thing. So pretty much we do have a line of vegetarian options, garden burgers and vegetarian pizzas. So we try to cater to pretty much everybody.
So it's bar food plus,
yeah.
Quite a bit.
Yeah,
and it's a great venue to hear music. Somebody told me you recently got a new piano in there.
Yes, through the cooperation of the University of Illinois School of Music, Department of Jazz Studies, and some generous donors and customers and stuff, we put a Baldwin. It actually used to be, was the piano that was in Smith Room 25, which is the kind of the theater of Smith Hall for years. It was there from the 50s till 1996, and someone had bought it after that, and it came up for sale, and so everyone said, let's get a nice piano for in there. Glenn Wilson, the baritone sax player that's on faculty over there, said, I'm only one of two jazz clubs in the state and maybe even the country that has a piano, the Jazz Showcase in Chicago being the other one.
Really? You mean that has a piano at all, or has... a grand of some kind.
That owns a piano that's there all the time.
No kidding.
Yeah.
That sounds almost impossible.
Yeah. It takes up some room, but it's nice to have it there.
Oh, yeah, no kidding. And the stage is small, but it's not that small.
No, I mean, it's an intimate venue. I mean, I only seat, my capacity is 106, but that's, to me, one of the great things about it. If you go to Chicago or New York and some of these venues are 300, 400, 500 people, you're just not... there, you're detached. You're sitting, you know, hundreds or tens of feet away. Versus at the Iron Post, you're sitting. You can almost touch the people, or you're sitting. Most shows, you're never more than 30 feet away from the performer. Some shows, you're right up next to him. So,
well, sometimes somebody says it's an intimate venue, and that's almost a backhanded, non-compliment. But in your case, it really is a compliment.
Well. I know of people, and I've also done it, where you go up to Chicago and you pay $20-$25, and there's a, you know, like a 2-drink minimum or something to sit and hear a performance. Versus, you know, you come to the Post and cover charges are usually between $2 and $10, and And like I said, you're among a small group that's experiencing that maybe once in a lifetime show, that to a limited group of people, I think that adds to the specialness of the show.
Sure. Well, on Christmas Day, you're going to have George Faber and friends. Actually, George's going to play with Keith Harden also on the 23rd. And I had a conversation with him. I didn't know him or really know much about him, and had a nice chat with him, which we're going to air next Monday on the show. Tell us a little bit about George, how you know him, and who were some of
George,
his friends.
One of my favorite memories when I first moved to town was his band playing at Mabel's. He had a band called George Faber and his band's called George Faber and the Icons now. It was George Faber and Stronghold, and it was top-notch group of musicians, and had some really, really great shows. George has got a very strong voice, and he's also a very proficient harmonica player. And, I gotten to know him fairly well. He moved up to the Twin Cities, Minneapolis, St. Paul. Him and Andrea live up there. And he comes back through every once in a while. But he's kind of in the same line as Keith now, where he's just a kind of a singer-songwriter. I think he does have a band up there. But when he comes down, it's just him playing guitar and harmonica and, you know, some covers, some of his own songs, and then whatever the people that sit in want to play. It's always a fun night. I opened on Christmas. My family always liked to do Christmas on the gift exchange on Christmas Eve. And so ever since the Iron Post was open, I've opened on Christmas, and I've always had a crowd because everyone's done the family thing Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. And I've actually had people thank me. Thank God you're open. I got to get away from my family for a little while. So it's kind of a nice way to get out on Christmas night and listen to some good music.
Well, I'm going to try my family's in Pennsylvania, so I'm usually here on Christmas Day, and then I drive out the day after. So I'm going to try to get my packing done early and then come out and hear the music. It'd be a great way to put myself to bed after that and then drive off to Pennsylvania. Here's George Faber, and one of his tunes is called I Go Blind. We're talking with Paul Wirth of the Iron Post, downtown Urbana, here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. Was music by and performed by George Faber called I'd Go Blind, and George is going to be at the Iron Post in downtown Urbana on Christmas Day, a program simply called George Faber and Friends, and Keith Harden will be among those, apparently, and quite a number of other people. And my guest on Live and Local right now is the owner and operator of the Iron Post, Paul Wirth.
Thank you for having me on, Kevin.
Well, it's a real pleasure, and I should have done it a long time ago. I've been occasionally having folks come in and play on the show who are doing it because they're going to be at the Post, and just looking at the Christmas schedule and seeing you have all these people coming in this short period of time when not much of anybody else is doing anything, and I thought, well, this is a great time to have this conversation.
Unfortunately, I don't get to listen to the program because it's during lunch, and I work, I serve people during lunch, but I have an awful lot of people come up and say that they heard you say something or something that was, one of the interviews that you did. So obviously my clientele and part of your listenership.
Well, I hope we're getting you maybe a slightly bigger clientele.
That would be nice, too.
Since that would
be Christmas, wouldn't it?
It would be Christmas. And that's a large part of the point of this show, is to get people to go out and hear live music and see live theater and see live dance and so on. And for anybody who just got confused when he said, he can't hear the program, and yet he can be on the program, we're actually, this is the dirty little secret, we're actually talking on Tuesday afternoon.
It's magic.
But you're hearing this on Wednesday during the noon hour, and it's a treat to have you in. after George, you had the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. A few of their members were here right before they went off to London.
Right. They just got back after Thanksgiving. I heard they had a really great time. Talked to Andrew the other day. Said that the response over there was really good. So that band's getting better and better all the time. And they're consummate musicians, professionals, and they're a blues band. They play a lot, and it's they're still young yet. I've known Andrew since he was 16 or 17.
Andrew Duncanson, who's their lead singer.
Mm-hmm. In fact, I've known almost all those guys. That's the thing. I mean, since I'm have so much music, and since I'm in the venue so much, that a lot of these guys are my friends because I've seen them. I mean, Andrew, I think, once said, I can't remember how many shows he's done at the Post, but it's, I don't know, upwards of 100, I think.
Really?
Over the years, over the almost 10 years that I've been there, so.
You know, you said earlier, talking about one of the great advantages to a place like the Post is compared to, say, you know, venues in Chicago where you pay a whole wad of money, and here cover charge anywhere from $2 to $10. How do the musicians, well, first of all, just out of curiosity, how much of that goes to the musicians
100%.
And how much goes? That all goes to the musicians. So if there's a $2 cover, and, you know, how do the musicians get by with
well,
such a
the $2
amount?
Covers for school events. We have, of course, U of I School of Music Jazz program, but we also have Parkin College. In fact, tonight is Parkin College Big Band, but since this will be aired tomorrow, you will have missed it. Where it's just unfeasible for everyone to make any kind of money, and at the same time, it's also for a school class. So we just charge the $2 to give the directors and some money for light bulbs and music and little things that they may not have in their school budget. Most of the other covers are in the $3 to $5 range, and that usually makes the guys, you know, make it 40 or 50 bucks for a couple hours of playing. So seems to make it worthwhile.
So if you go in and it's a relatively small cover and you really appreciated the music, I'm sure that the band would appreciate a little extra on the way out
door. Oh, yeah.
After Kilbourne Alley, we should say they're going to be there on the 26th, day after Christmas, 9 o'clock at night. And then Matt and Tom Torino, who fairly recently released their newest CD called Here and Far Away at the Iron Post.
Yeah, that's, to me, one of their, they've been making recordings of each other. Matt is Tom's son, since Tom was pretty much old enough to play. And this was a really, really well-polished, well-done CD of all their originals. I told Tom, and if you listen to it, I'm not sure if I'm sitting next to a campfire in the Western United States or if I'm sitting on somebody's back porch in Urbana.
Mm.
That's just kind of the feel it's got to it.
Well, here's an example of that. In fact, we're going to have them on here on Monday, I think. But here is a Tom Torino composition, Devil in the Details. Matt Torino is on the fiddle, and Tom is on the banjo from their disc Here and Far Away on Live and Local.
Thank you.
Matt and Tom Torino performing Tom's tune called Devil in the Details from their new disc called Here and Far Away, released not that long ago, with a party at the Iron Post in downtown Urbana. And my guest this portion of Live and Local has been Paul Wirth, and he is the owner and operator of the Iron Post. And he's bringing Matt and Tom to
the 27th, I think?
27th, yeah, 2 days after Christmas, 7 o'clock in the evening. And then, you know, it goes on from there. You can check out their MySpace page, myspace.com/ironpostbar. Yeah. Well,
of course, we've got the reunion for the funk band Jam Nation for New Year's Eve, which is going to be kind of an event they hadn't played out in 3 or 4 years.
Well, you got two things going on that day.
Chip McNeil's going to do a jazz happy hour. He's the director of jazz studies, a great, great tenor sax player at the U of I. And then, like I said, the guys from, actually, one of your coworkers, Jack Brighton, is in that band.
Oh, is he really?
Uh-huh.
You know, Jack's been in so many different bands that you can't keep track of him.
Jam Mason kind of fell apart, and I had was in talks with some other bands, and it fell through as far as New Year's Eve, and actually, Jack was playing in a trio that he plays with Laurie Simon and Rob Patton called PBS. That
That's a good title for a guy who works in public radio
and TV. I said, what are you doing New Year's Eve? And he said, nothing. And I said, well, let's look at a Jam Nation reunion. They do Average White Band stuff, The War. I mean, just great classic covers. So it's going to be a really good show.
That's the big New Year's Eve party. The Chip McNeil going to be there on the 31st at 5 mm-hmm. for a happy hour, and then the party starts at 8 o'clock. And you told me something right at the end of Matt and Tom's tune. You've had how many shows, you think, since you've opened up?
A couple days ago, I started figuring it out. It was like 3,460-something. I figured March of this year will be 3,500, and August of next year will be 4,000 if everything stays on the same
That's astounding.
A lot of shows.
Well, it's a great service to certainly the Champaign-Urbana community, because we said at the outset, there's just not that many venues hosting live music.
Well, and like I said,
it's great that you do it.
You know, because I'm there all the time, and because I was a musician in my younger life, a lot of these guys are my friends. And so, in the vernacular, many nights you can't swing a dead cat without hitting a musician in your own post. So.
And if they're not playing, there's a whole bunch in there listening to the people who are playing.
And a lot of them live in Urbana, and a lot of them come just to see their friends. And like the Keith Harden show and the George Faber show, a lot of times they'll come up and sit in. And Andrew Duncanson from Kilburn Alley was telling me a number of shows that they'd done, which I think was, I can't remember, in the hundreds or in over 100. But he also said that he's been in so many other times just watching, and they said, come on up and sit in. So it's a very vibrant atmosphere that any time during a show, you never know who's going to get up and play.
Well, for those who might not be in Champaign-Urbana and maybe either have heard of the Iron Post but didn't know much about it, just the fact, I think the best testimony is that musicians go to hear the other musicians, and that tells you that it's a great destination to hear some really good music.
There's lots of good music.
MySpace.com/IronPostBar. Paul, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Kevin. Thank you for having me on.
It's a great pleasure. It's Live and Local on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly. At the New Year's Day concert in Vienna. What is the year here? I don't see the year here. 1978-9, I guess, with the Vienna Philharmonic led by Willy Boskovsky. That was the famous Radetzky March, traditionally played at the end of the Viennese New Year's Day concerts. Music by Johann Strauss Sr. And that's actually one of the pieces that will be on the program by the Illinois Symphony Orchestra, their Holiday Pops concert this weekend, which they will be playing twice in a considerably varied form in Bloomington Friday night at 8 o'clock at the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts, and Saturday night at 8 o'clock at Sangamon Auditorium at the University of Illinois at Springfield. And in just a moment, we'll air my conversation from earlier this morning with Karen Lindeal, who is music director of the Illinois Symphony Orchestra, and we'll hear a lot more about those Pops concerts. It's Live and Local on FM 90.9. Our broadcast today is made possible with support from World Harvest International and Gourmet Foods, featuring foods from around the world, including imported chocolates, cookies, cheeses, gift baskets, and party catering. Also through the holidays, daily food tastings with an expanded tasting on Saturdays. World Harvest Foods, located at the intersection of 6th and University in Champaign.
We're just about halfway through the fiscal year, and your tax-deductible gift today will bring us closer to being halfway to this year's member support goal. It's an especially important goal given the recent cut in state funding. Keep us on track with a year-end gift of $50, $100, or $500 at willpledge.org or 217-244-9455. Thanks.
It's Live and Local on FM 90.9. I'm talking with Karen Lindeal, who is music director of the Illinois Symphony Orchestra, which at one time was called at least one different name. Karen, remind us, for those who did know, and tell us for those who never did, how the Illinois Symphony ended up playing in both Springfield and Bloomington, because I think it used to be the Springfield Symphony, didn't it?
Well, actually, it was two different orchestras, and this was a very, very long time ago. This predates me by probably, 4 or 5 years or more, but 10 years, actually. But it used to be the Springfield Symphony Orchestra and the Bloomington Symphony Orchestra. They were two totally independent, separate groups, and started having financial issues, as is something we always struggle with in the arts, and decided to merge to see if the combination of resources couldn't make one orchestra that was bigger and better and more influential, that played in both cities.
And of course, I raise this question because, as always, your concerts are played in Bloomington and Springfield, including the one that is coming this weekend, or the ones that are coming this weekend, because they do have slightly different twists to them. Friday night is in Bloomington, and Saturday night in Springfield, and it's your holiday Pops concert. Why don't you give us an overview of what's on it?
Okay. Our holiday Pops concerts are really the only two concerts we do that are significantly different, depending on which city you're in. And it's because we like to incorporate people and talent from each individual city. So we have Bloomington extras play with us on that concert, and we have Springfield people play with us on the Springfield one. So, for example, on Friday night in Bloomington, we're going to have the Bloomington Normal Youth Symphony Orchestra play some side-by-side pieces with us. We're going to have the Bloomington High School a cappella choir, and we're going to have the Sound of Illinois Barbershop Chorus, and along with the bagpipes, the St. Andrew's bagpipes. So those are the people that will be with us there, and those are people that live locally in that area. Then on Saturday night, when we're here in Springfield, we're going to have the Sangamon Valley Youth Symphony Orchestra, and then we'll have the Sangamon Valley Community Orchestra, and once again the St. Andrew's Pipes and Drums will be with us, and a local jazz singer here, Johnny Owens, is going to sing with us, as well as one of the school bell choirs, the Feitchens Bell Choir. So those people will just, you know, each of those will just have a few minute spotlight with the orchestra doing something with us, and it's a way that we like to incorporate the communities and bring everybody together for the holidays.
And I see something here in Springfield called the Springfield Youth Performance Group.
Yes, that's actually a dance group of young girls, and they've played with us, or they've performed with us the last couple of years, and they actually do a little dance as Santa Claus is entering the concert hall while we play Roy Anderson's Sleigh Ride. So it's very nice because everybody knows, you know, the music to Sleigh Ride, and the little girls come in with candy canes and their little red and white costumes on, and here comes Santa right behind them, and it's very, very huge, you know. So a lot of these things happen simultaneously with music that we're playing. And it's nice. It just gives everybody a little stage time to show what they're doing and hopefully get new people interested in those individual groups as well as in ours.
You know, seeing that Santa is making an appearance at both of the concerts, it just a mystery was just solved for me, I think. I always wondered how Santa Claus managed to afford all those toys every year. He earns it in appearance fees.
Yes, I think he does. He's probably not going to earn very many toys in our appearance fees. So I think our Santa is one of the generous ones who gives of his time.
But there's only one Santa.
There's only one Santa.
And so when you add up all those small and large appearance fees, yeah, I'm really glad to have figured that out. That's
and I always
burning
get
question.
A big, big hug from Santa when he comes on stage, so I love that.
Does that mean you'll probably get good presents, or is that in lieu of good presents?
I think I'll probably get some good presents this year.
Well, I certainly hope you've been a good girl.
Always.
How do you manage? I mean, does this mean at some level you've got to rehearse two very different programs, or do you have some of these different groups play the same pieces?
Well, the way we do it, you know, I've been doing this kind of thing for a long time, so I know the tricks of the trade. Most of these groups, with the exception of the two youth orchestras and the community orchestra, the rest of them either don't perform with us. They perform, you know, one piece or two short pieces by themselves, or they perform on something that we're already playing. So, you know, the youth orchestra and the community orchestra, they actually perform with us in a side-by-side situation so that we have that kind of mentorship going.
So the Bloomington group will be playing the same piece with you that the Sangamon Valley group is?
Right, right. And so the Bloomington group has been preparing two pieces, and, you know, she communicated to me what those were, and they're always pretty standard pieces for Christmas time. And we'll, you know, have them come play beside us. So I put those two pieces on the program. And here in Springfield, they have learned the music that I programmed. The youth orchestra will play the first half of the concert with us, and the community orchestra will play the second half of the concert with us. So they each had, you know, a few pieces to learn. And there's a couple of pieces that they're not going to play on that are just us because of the level of difficulty. But then, you know, the things like the group you just asked about with Santa Claus, they're dancing during sleigh rides, so it doesn't require any extra rehearsal time. Some of the singers and things like that, it does require extra rehearsal time, but it's easy to work it all in with our regular rehearsals. And we put this together on two rehearsals, so, you know, it's not a difficult concert to play musically for the musicians, because, you know, once you've played a few Christmas concerts, you've played a great deal of the repertoire that's there to play anyway. But the difficulty is on the production side, and on trying to get that many people on and off stage, and where they're going to go, and when they're going to go on and off, and what their cues are, and where they stand, and all of those sorts of things. So that's really the necessity for the rehearsals.
Right, and make sure that the audience doesn't perceive chaos in all of that.
Exactly.
Somehow or another.
Yeah.
So will there be the pieces that the orchestra, that the Illinois Symphony is doing on its own, will they be sort of standard classical fare or typical holiday pops, or what are you going to do on your own?
Let me see. We're doing it's holiday stuff, but for example, we're doing Die Fledermaus overture, and the kids aren't going to play on us with that. That's too.
That's pretty tricky.
Difficult, and it's very tricky. And the ballet music from Nutcracker is just going to be us. And once again, it's because of the level of difficulty and the trickiness to it, and the fact that we don't have very much time to rehearse together. But other than that, pretty much they're playing on most of the things in Springfield between the two groups. In Bloomington, those kids are just playing on the two pieces that they've already prepared. and then they won't play on anything else.
Right.
So they just will come on, play with us, and then they'll leave. So it's, you know, it's a different situation there than here.
You've been doing side-by-sides with youth orchestras in both communities, or at least Springfield, for many years. I know Ken Kiesler as well did those.
Yeah, and I've been doing them since I got here in Bloomington. You know, for a while, Bloomington was like the stepchild, and I've tried to rectify that and really make all things equal in both cities and have, you know, performers from the Bloomington Normal area perform on these concerts and not the Springfield people perform on them, because it's a way of building community awareness for the arts, and not just for the Illinois Symphony Orchestra, but for the arts groups in the area in which you're performing. Because if you don't support them, then how can they grow and build and be good arts organizations in and of themselves? So it's really important to collaborate, I think, with people wherever you're playing.
And I'm sure that folks like the Sound of Illinois Barbershop Chorus really appreciate the extra exposure, because I know, for example, Barbershop is, in many communities having some hard times because it's kind of an older art form that isn't necessarily catching on with some of the younger kids, and to have it themselves exposed to what's probably quite a different audience has to be good for them.
Yeah, I think you're right. And one of the things that I've learned about barbershop groups, first of all, the Sound of Illinois is they've won many awards locally and nationally. They are phenomenal. It is so, and if they're performing on their own, we won't perform with them. They have a little feature set, and they are fantastic. They always impress the audience. They're so much fun to listen to, and the musicians enjoy taking a little break on stage and listening to them sing. And it is a lost art form, but there's a whole society, I've learned, of barbershop groups around the United States, and they have very competitive competitions, and it's the real deal. So, I encourage people to come out and listen to the orchestra and listen to them.
Well, it should be a really entertaining time for everybody. It's Friday night at 8 o'clock at the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts, obviously in Bloomington, and then Saturday night at 8 o'clock at the Sangamon Auditorium at the University of Illinois in Springfield, the Illinois Symphony Orchestra, with many guests, special guests from each of those communities. And Karen Lindeal is the music director of the orchestra, and as always, thanks for joining us on Live and Local.
Thank you so much.
Well, they won't have Tony Bennett on Friday and Saturday, but they will be doing the Christmas song, among many other popular items, on those Illinois Symphony Pops, Holiday Pops concerts, Friday at Bloomington and Saturday in Springfield. For more information, illinoissymphony.org, I believe. This is Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly. On tomorrow's program, we have a number of actors from the Creative Dramatics Workshop production of Little Women. It's going to be in Sydney. It actually started last weekend, continues this weekend. And clarinetist, saxophonist Carlisle Johnson, joined by pianist Bill French, a couple of members of the New Orleans Jazz Machine performing in Champaign-Urbana on the weekend as well. They'll be with us on tomorrow's program. And lots of other things in your area. Go out and see live music, see some theater. It's going to be sunny this afternoon with a high of 28 degrees. Tonight, partly cloudy. The low will be around 19. Tomorrow, also expected to be mostly sunny with a high temperature around 40. And then the outlook for Friday is for a cloudy sky with a chance of light rain or snow showers in the afternoon, the high around 39 on Friday. Currently 26 degrees. Coming up in just a moment, news headlines from NPR. Julie Amacher has classical music for you at 106. This is WYLL FM and HD Urbana, operating translators W293 AF Danville and W266 AF Urbana.